Welcome to the sermon series of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Jeff Conley.
The world is very different now. For man holds in his mortal hands the power to abolish all forms of human poverty and all forms of human life. And yet the same revolutionary beliefs to which our forebears fought are still the issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of men and women come not from the generosity from the state, but come from the hand of God. We dare not forget today that we are heirs to that first revolution. Let the word go forth from this time and place to friend and foe alike, that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans, born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by hard and bitter peace, proud of an ancient heritage, and unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed, and to which we are committed today at home and around the world. In the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it. I do not believe that any of us would exchange places with any other people of any other generation. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and serve it. And the glow of that fire will truly light the world. And then, at that point, President Kennedy and his speechwriter Sorensen ruined it for every other inauguration to follow. For he hit us with words that we all remember, that sit with us to this very day, that I don't know how anybody humanly can top it. For he concluded with, "And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." I was there. Not there, but there. I went again. It was important to go again. I was at the inauguration 4 years ago. I wanted to go to the inauguration again this year. I think it might be a habit of mine now. It was interesting. I didn't want to hear the news. I didn't want to hear everybody's opinion. I wanted to experience it again as I experienced it 4 years ago. And it was very different. And, no matter what the debates about size that came out yesterday that were kind of crazy and silly, the reality is I got much closer than I was 4 years ago. I was all the way up to 4th Avenue, right there in the middle, right up front. It was very easy to get in. What saddened me about the whole experience, I went prayerfully and hopefully. I was around some of the violence on Thursday night, burnings in the middle of the streets, and was surprised by that. But what really saddened me was the anger that was everywhere, the anger that was there with those that were supporting President Trump, and the anger that was there that was against him. And so as I was praying, I was brought right to Colossians 3:8, get rid of all such things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. I prayed the whole time I was there. I would have driven my boys crazy because I walked up to all kinds of people because I just wanted to experience, I wanted to ask questions. But at times also I wanted to confront, and so I went up to some of these people with some of these really crude signs and just said, I appreciate you have that sentiment, but do you think you could have articulated that in a different way? And I'll tell you what, nobody whacked me with a sign. So but you know, I saw on CNN when I got home, I said, hey, I saw those four boys. There were four boys that were standing there with, I'm a Muslim, ask me any question. And so, you know, I kind of chatted with them a little bit and talked a little bit about Egypt, which we're going to hear some today. And there was a young woman behind me, a college student, and she was holding a sign that said Muslim and proud. And so, you know, being a father, and, you know, I asked her politely, are you dating anyone? And she said, no. And I said, well, they look like they're four very nice boys right here. I engaged with people quite a bit, but boy, that anger, even to the very point. Becca and Jonathan had to remind me, well, it was a new experience for me because last year the president didn't leave in a helicopter because the president didn't leave last year. But I stayed in the Capitol Mall for that moment to see President Obama. They show it on the screens that are there because it was happening on the other side of the Capitol, where he gets in the helicopter and it takes off. And so it's kind of neat to see it then lift over the Capitol and take off. But even the anger at that point, it was just an angry, angry crowd. But I did something that was tough for me to do. And I did it because of Bert and Don Peterson, who very graciously, their son has made me a handmade cane. And people talk about me using a cane sometimes, and there's an emotional thing with that too, and so I haven't wanted to use it, but I knew that I'd be going down hills, I knew I'd be walking a lot, I knew I'd need something to lean on, so I used this cane, and so pass on to him that somebody stopped me, a protester actually, ran by with a big sign and said, hey, cool cane, and then kept running. Which I thought, comment, but here's the thing that was different, and I did kind of joke, well, maybe I'll get some sympathy and they'll let me get a little closer, or you know, people will be a little gentler, because it was really tough last time. I mean, there was a lot of shoving and pushing, there were just so many people crowded in. That wasn't the experience this time, but here was the experience this time. As I was walking with that cane, and if you've been to Washington, D.C., and I look out at Wendy out there, who's been there with me, we're reaching out years ago in the youth group, reaching out to homeless folk there. There are a lot of homeless people in Washington, D.C. And so as all these people were streaming down to go to the inauguration, there were a number of them out holding their cups out and asking for resources. Every single one was shocking to me. Was every single one, when I came by, held their cup back. And they covered it. And some of them said things to me like, bless you. And just, you know, gave me a nod or something. And so it was really interesting that, you know, they recognized from that cane that I was dealing with something. And they knew they were dealing with something. And so there was a connection. But the reality is, each and every one of you has a cane. It's just not seen. All of us have some kind of cane, but they're not seen. And so the challenge from that moment, as we celebrate the ways that we can join Jesus anywhere, anytime, anyhow, as we join Jesus, is to remember the kind of sweet intimacy those people had with me in reaching out. You know, we people of Christian faith, we're not better than anybody else. We're absolutely not better than anybody else. And in fact, I'd say it this way, we don't even have a better way than everybody else. Hear how I said that. We don't have another way better than anyone else. But listen deeply now. Because we have been given a better way through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you hear the difference there? It's not something that I created or that I grabbed, but we have been given that gift of a better way. To know and walk in the world, to know what it means to be known and loved by God and by others. To come together as we do, to gather in worship. We are different because we have been given a better way. And with all the pomp and circumstance of what happens at an inauguration, and boy, I tell you, if you haven't been to one, go. Seriously, go. It's an important thing to see and do. And even seeing Hillary Clinton sitting right there behind Donald Trump, for the world to see that, it's an important thing for the world to see that kind of transition of power every 4 years. But there's another inauguration that I kind of see, the inauguration of the church. And I can imagine the drama that was happening as Jesus was sharing these words with the disciples, speaking to him with words more powerful than that Kennedy speech, and almost as known by people, coming from Matthew 28, beginning with verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And remember, I am with you always. I am with you always to the end of the age." Beautiful, powerful words. An inauguration, a beginning of the body of Christ, the ecclesia, the church, each one of us united together to live in a different way, with that call upon each of us to go and make disciples, go and make followers of Jesus Christ. In 1883, Charles Haddon Spurgeon preached a sermon, and he said, "The servants of God were not left to originate a gospel for themselves, as certain modern teachers appear to do today. Nor were they left to map out their mode of procedure in spreading their glad tidings. They were told by the great master, Jesus, what to preach, where to preach, and how to preach." We've been given that great news, and we've been told what to preach, where to preach, and how to preach. Spurgeon goes on to describe Jesus' tactics. Following his call for immediacy, he continues with a plan of action. He used words that have meaning to men from their specific lifestyle. He used terms that they could relate to by their work, by their experience. They knew how to gather fish out of the water. They knew how to plant the fish. They knew how to prepare their boat for the journey. They knew what type of nets to use, where to go on the water, and what time of day to go out, and how to be patient and wait for the catch. They knew all about fishing in the water. Jesus also knew this and calculated the exact words to help them understand. These newly found disciples were soon to enter a new set of duties. Jesus had called them to be fishers of people, of humanity, of men and women. And he told them what to say. He told us all how to preach. What is it that we need to say? He said you need to tell the people in Matthew 4 to repent to repent. Now we all know what repent means. Repent means feeling more miserable, more put down, more awful, more like we're just horrible human beings. We should be squished. That's what repent means, right? Because that's why we're afraid to tell any of our friends about what it means to follow God, to repent, because it means that we're to be squished down fully, right? Is that what repent means? Does anybody know what repent means? Thank you. Turn away. Turn. Repent means turn. Turn away from following your own passion and your own sins. Turn away from ignoring me, your God. Turn away from harming others. Turn away and come back to me. That's what repent is. Turn away from the dark path you are walking. Come to light. Turn away from a place where there's no hope and walk in peace. Repent. Turn away from that. Come back to me. Come back to me. Jesus taught us how to preach, and he taught us where to preach. Acts 1:8. The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, Jesus said. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, speaking to them there in Jerusalem, right here to those disciples, saying, in this very place, with the power of the Holy Spirit, you are to preach, you are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, in Paoli, all the way up to Thornton. To Idaho, and all the way to Egypt, around the whole world, we are called to be witnesses. And we love that word witness in Greek also. You love it. Dave knows what it is. Martyr. It's a great word, right? We're called to be martyrs for Jesus. Well, wait a minute. I don't know if I like that. Especially after watching that Silence movie last week. That was pretty brutal. Martyr actually means in Greek to be a legal witness. We use martyr in a different term in English now. In Greek, the word martyr very specifically was a legal term for witness. Here are the facts, folks. Here's the beauty of what God has done for us. Here's all God has declared. Witness that. Witness that to others. Pay attention to the canes that people are using in their lives and speak out to them. Speak to them, into them, for whatever those canes might be. Jesus tells us how to preach, where to preach. What to preach, where to preach, and how to preach. Now, has anybody here ever baked a cake? Why is that funny? It's just a simple question. Has anybody ever baked a cake? Now, how did you bake a cake? Or right, you know what I mean, right? But so there, I'm sure there's some good bakers in our congregation. But there are also probably some quick bakers, right? Have you ever been so quick when you baked a cake that you forgot something? Like, you forgot to put the eggs in the cake? Have you ever baked a cake without eggs? It doesn't look that different. You know, you tear open the box, you throw a bunch of things in the machine. It doesn't look that different without the eggs. Put it in, you bake it, and what comes out? Kind of a dry, flat, crumbly thing. Not very cakey. Have you ever forgot to put the flour in? That'd be harder to do, right? It seems like something's missing as you're whipping the thing around, right? But when you bake it, I don't know. I kind of think sugar, eggs, you know, flavoring, that might be a good thing, whatever it turns out to be, maybe. But it wouldn't be a cake, right? So the reality is, how we're called to preach is by doing two things. By putting word and deed together. James tells us that our faith is dead without works. Our faith is useless without works. We need to live it out. We need to experience all of it and be sharing it with others. It's a great joy to know what it means to repent, to turn from what's dark and go to what's hopeful and light and joy. It's great that we know that, as Jonathan brought up, this is a message for the entire world, not just a certain group of people. And we know how we're to do that is through word and through deed. And I tell you, we do a great job with deed here at Paoli. There's a lot of good deed doing. We need to continue to work on that, sharing why we do it. For if you just help somebody out without telling them why you're helping them out, it doesn't help them further along the journey, does it? It might help them in that moment, but we need to remember to live out and be both of those. At that inauguration speech of Kennedy's, he asked, that's not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Don't just be consumers as people in this nation, but be participants. And in that inaugural address of Jesus, therefore go, make disciples. In that same way, he's saying, don't just be consumers of God's blessing and sit there and enjoy it, but be participants and go, go. Go out. Not just as good deed doers, but go out and make disciples. People who know what it means to be loved by God. So holy and beautiful Father, unite each and every one of us together this day that we may celebrate our repentance and turning to you. And that you, by your Spirit, would empower us to take the gospel message to the east and the west and the north and the south. Amen.